The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined by Alistair Whitehouse-Jones in the studio to look ahead to three races on Monday. We're also going to have a brief look back at the best of Saturday's action. Of course, was a great day at Ascot and Cheltenham, particularly Ascot, dominating the headlines and rightly so. We're just going to look back very briefly at that. Two races at Pontefract look forward to, as well as one at Windsor. So, good afternoon, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones.
Hi, Alex.
How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Obviously, you were in the studio yesterday for Champions Day at Ascot, and it didn't really disappoint, did it?
No, it was sort of had to stand on its own two feet, didn't it, for the first time since the banner horse Frankel retired. The ground, you know, it was a shame that we were talking about which horses would handle the ground best as opposed to which were the best horses lining up. And conditions clearly, you know, were a key factor in the winning performances yesterday. But unfortunately, Ascot are stuck with that date and I don't think there's any room to manoeuvre. So, you know, the ones who won certainly weren't complaining anyway.
No. Obviously, Farr landed the Champion Stakes.
The biggie.
And it was a great finish, wasn't it? But did the best horse win, do you think?
Oh, without a doubt, I think he did, yeah. Okay. He did everything right, travelled well, dug deep when needed. Yeah, I mean, he'd got a... I suppose the one slight doubt about Farr going into the race was on that ground, whether he'd genuinely see out the trip of a mile and a quarter, having, you know, shown an abundance of speed in winning the Lockinge, but he's clearly versatile in that respect and dug deep when needed. And yeah, I've got no doubts that the best horse won. You clearly don't. No.
I just speculating.
Oh, right, just okay.
No reason.
I mean, I think the second horse, the French horse, you know, he's been an absolute superstar through his career. He would have been the oldest winner, as we touched on yesterday, since 1887, I think. I mean, you know, which was a massive negative to overcome stat-wise. And even everybody, you know, people were saying, oh, he's back to his best after looking so good on Arc Weekend. But if you look at his form and, you know, look at the RPRs that he recorded that day, you know, this horse isn't quite as good as he was. And, you know, which is a harsh thing to say on the back of a narrow defeat in the Group 1 Champion Stakes. But I think had he been at his very peak form, it all.
Okay. We saw Olympic Glory win the QE2.
Yeah.
Did it very, very well. I mean, obviously Top Notch Tonto is the one that is just
remarkable.
It's a phenomenal story, isn't it? I mean, I remember watching Top Notch Tonto at the beginning of June, being second at York in a very, very average race.
Yeah, no, it's an astonishing advertisement for Brian Ellison's training skills as much as anything. Clearly he wouldn't have been on good, you know, decent ground, he probably wouldn't have been better than fifth or sixth, but that's not the point. And fair play to Connections, they turned a 70 grand supplementary fee into, I think, 230, so job done. As far as they're concerned. As for the winner, without doubt he handled the ground better than most, and I think the he's always been a bit idle in his races, this horse, and I think the blinkers have made an absolute massive difference. It'd be fascinating to see if I presume they're going to keep it in training. I haven't read otherwise, but the big question next time will be whether the headgear works again. He's not a quirky type at all, so I don't doubt for a minute that he won't. I think the blinkers will be the making of this horse.
Okay. Obviously, a whole host of other action yesterday. We're not going to talk about it anymore, but we're going to look at Monday's action, partly because I know Mark Walton will be looking back at the weekend's action in the Monday jury tomorrow, so we don't want to cover that ground. We will look first at the 210 at Pontefract on Monday. It is a nursery over a mile, 17 runners down to go to post, so clearly an easy race for you here, Ali. Solidarity is the one to start with, off top weight for Godolphin, has to be respected in a race like this.
Yeah, maiden winner, third last time out. I just think, you know, Godolphin handicappers tend to be, especially in nurseries, they tend to be overbet. I'd expect this horse to be shorter than it should be.
Okay.
So I'd be looking elsewhere. The one I like is number three, Jive. He's had plenty of racing, would be a lot more exposed than some of these horses. But, I mean, it's only win so far, came in a maiden on the all-weather, but I think it was just about a personal best that she recorded when going down narrowly over 7 furlongs at Brighton last time. And the manner with which she finished that day would suggest that the step up to a stiff mile could well help. I know she has tried a mile before, but that was on the all-weather and in a race that didn't really pan out that favourably for her. She's not had many chances on this sort of ground either. The conditions were good to soft at Brighton. Officially, I think it was a bit softer than that as well. So hopefully the ground will be fine. And I take Jive to give the Richard Hannan champion trainer another winner.
Okay, then. Jive in the 2:10 at Pontefract for Ali. The 3 o'clock at Windsor is the second race that we're going to look at. It is another nursery, once again over a mile. Only the 10 got to post here. Well, there's no reason why we shouldn't start with Richard Hannan again. He runs two here, and well, he runs three, actually. Certainly the top two, Morally Bankrupt and the Alamo, have to have strong chances, and I suppose it wouldn't be a surprise if Midnight Rambler ran considerably better than we've seen so far.
No, the Alamo would be top choice on jockey bookings, you would think, but that doesn't always work that way with the Hannan horses. Morally Bankrupt's the one who brings momentum into the race on a hat-trick. Probably got enough to prove now off its revised mark, I'd have thought. Midnight Rambler, I would say, has probably got the most to prove of the Hannan trio. So the Alamo, second last time out, already a winner in a maiden, has already shown that it can win a race off its current mark. If the cards fall favourably, that one should be thereabouts, but I'll be looking elsewhere. I mean, I think this Cape Arrow, the Paul Cole horse, is just about the most interesting horse that I could find running tomorrow with, from a punting perspective. He didn't set the world alight in his maidens. His best effort was probably the first one. Only managed ninth the next twice. But as a consequence of, you know, they were fairly decent races, and having not troubled the judge, he consequently went handicapping off what could be a fair mark. And I think it was significant that he was backed into favouritism for his nursery debut at Kempton when stepped up to a mile for the first time. And he finished fifth, and that only tells half the story. The race wasn't run to suit this horse at all. He was held up off a steady pace. That was never going to be ideal. But he did second. He fed second best of the horses held up, and the other one has since come out and won. So I've got no doubts that this horse can win off his current mark.
Okay.
And the fact he was back first time out would suggest I'm not the only one believing that as well. So Cape Arrow, hopefully, with the Hannan horses in, with him running three, Floating Ballerino's got solid form, the top horses from a shrewd yard comes, Wickham book comes here on the back of a win. Hopefully, you know, it's a competitive race and the market will hold up.
Okay, so Cape Arrow the pick there in the 3 o'clock. Final race that we're going to look at is the 5:40. We're going back to Pontefract for this one. It is Division 2 of a handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. 13 runners down to go to post. And we'll start with Eric the Grey for Richard Fahey and Paul Hannigan, who relished the conditions when scoring at Windsor last week.
Yeah, he did indeed. And I think there's every chance he can go well again. He just can't get enough of this sort of ground. And, you know, he could well be in for a decent end of season spell. He came nicely clear of the opposition at Windsor, as you said, and if he's in the same sort of form, there's no reason to believe he won't be, then, you know, a penalty might not stop him if in similar form. And he wasn't beaten fine at a decent handicap here earlier in the season as well, so don't expect the track to be a problem, and I think he's the one to beat.
Okay. Main dangers for Eric the Grey on Monday?
I'd say the David O'Mara horse, Tabayan, who won well enough last time out. I think he could probably win another race, but I think this is stronger.
Okay, then. So Eric the Grey, the pick there in the 5:40. If you could just sum your three picks then for Monday, Ali, the two at Pontefract and the one at Windsor.
Yeah, the two at Ponty are Jive in the opening nursery at 2:10, Eric the Grey in the finale at 5:40, and Cape Arrow, the Paul Cole colt, in the nursery over a mile at Windsor. That's due off at 3 o'clock.
OK, then. Thanks very much for your time, Ali. Good luck with those selections, and we'll talk soon.
Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.